In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For centuries, the Church has in November remembered the festival of St. Martin of Tours, patron saint of military chaplains. We, in recent times, have been more inclined to remember it for his namesake, St. Martin of Wittenberg. It seems ironic that today, as we remember Luther's birthday, that the first words of our reading are addressed to the one often claimed as the first pope, to Simon Peter. But while this account tells us of Peter and the disciples, it tells us even more of what is in store for all faithful believers, the things that lie ahead of them. Poor Peter. How often do we criticize him for his failures and his shortcomings self-righteously? But never look at what he was going through in comparison to what we do. For always underlying our accusations against Peter are thoughts such as, I certainly would have done a better job in his place. When confronted with a servant girl around a charcoal fire, I would not have denied the Lord. And taking it a step further, wouldn't I have made a better choice for first pope? Well, our text gives us a little understanding of what happened to Peter that day when he denied Christ. For Jesus says to him right here, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for permission to sift you as the wheat. And from the sounds of our text, the Lord is worried about the outcome. What will become of his disciples as they fall under the scrutiny of the devil? For Satan here asks to do what he does best, to accuse, to point out every little flaw in the human being. Satan imagines that he is doing no favor for God or for mankind here. His assumption is a simple one. I will sift through Peter and through the other disciples, and in the end will have found nothing but chaff to be thrown into the fire. Nothing will be left for God. And so the sifting begins. He sifts Simon with everything imaginable. Before his eyes, his Lord and Master is arrested, charged with horrible crimes and taken away. The disciples are surrounded by guards, doubtless threatened with death. And then Jesus is taken away to be condemned and to be crucified. And in the end, Peter succumbs to temptation and denies his Lord for a chance to save his own neck. And can't you see the devil laughing with delight? I've got one! Only chaff and no grain. But he was wrong. For when the chaff was removed by the grace of God, one tiny seed of God-given faith remained. One tiny bit. But it was enough. And Simon was reckoned with the righteous and survived the sifting. But today we are not here to remember the festival of Simon Peter, but of Martin Luther. The great Martin Luther, who, like Simon, was also sifted. Sifted like grain. Things were not always that way for him. On the contrary, while Luther was in the Church of Rome, the devil didn't bother a bit about him. Why should I waste my time on Luther when he's doing a fine enough job for me there already? Leave him alone. But the real sifting came another time. Only when Luther found the truth of the gospel, only when he began to proclaim that word, did the sifting begin in earnest. And how it began. Threats of condemnation, punishment, suffering, death, earthbound threats of damnation, all of these thrown at Luther. Martin, give up this cause of yours, and things will go back to the easy life of before. No more tempting from the devil, no more sifting. But Luther did not stop, and in the end, by God's grace, was found in him also a tiny seed, enough faith granted by God that he survived. And today also, the devil is still up to his old ways of sifting the faithful people of God. Only today his targets are more numerous. A room here today filled with them. We are his principal targets. For once again he has asked for permission to sift us like the grain. One more time, he thinks he has found people who are nothing but chaff. And all the better for his cause, if these are they who want to lead the church of God, if these are sifted and found to be nothing at all, what then will happen to the congregations? And so sifting begins. Ah, says Satan, I have found a fine target here, a student of theology. Let us discourage him in his studies. Maybe then he'll give up. Let's remind him that he has 5 finals coming up in a week's time, and that 3/4 of the books for those classes remain unopened on his shelves. Surely he has 1 paper that he has not yet begun, to say nothing of finished. Let's raise his frustration, and then at this weak moment, whisper into his ear, "My son, that job you left at home is still unfilled. You could go back. You could make 3 times the money there than you ever would as a pastor." And thinking that these fail-proof arguments have won a victim, he turns and lets his attention fall on another, perhaps a professor. And what if all of his students should happen to turn their papers in on the last day of class, and all of his plans for a quarter break were destroyed, having to grade these? And as he reads through them, the frustration grows as it seems that no one caught what he was trying to say in that class, and the task is hopeless, and his job is of no good at all. And then, says Satan, let us scatter adversaries all throughout the church that question everything that goes on in this place, that question every word and every deed, assuming that none of it is for the good of Christ. The sifter works overtime, struggling to get each one of us to sift through our chaff, hoping to find nothing. Surely we will fail. And Satan rubs his hands and laughs with delight. But there is little hope for us here. If only the sifting could stop. If only we could find something substantial to cling to. And so we clutch at the lives around us and at our own lives, finding nothing but straw. And lost in our hopelessness, condemned to fall through the sifter into damnation, suddenly the sifting stops. For the sifter has become clogged and jammed. Jammed on a tiny, insignificant little piece of wood. Something that the devil never even worried about. A cross. Nothing much at all. Yet on that cross once hung the only unsiftable man in human history, and in the history of the entire universe. Jesus Christ, the one who was all wheat with not a bit of chaff, yet for our benefit threw himself into this earthly life and went through the entire sifting of Satan, only to emerge unscathed. Even the sifting unto the point of death and burial. But not a bit was removed. He was sifted and emerged whole. Through him, we are in no danger of perishing, for he has given his holiness to us, not of our own merit, but of his. And in him, we find forgiveness, life, and salvation. Though some of our chaff may be removed, we will remain whole, for Christ has made us his. Clothed in his righteousness, we cannot perish. But my friends, in a few minutes we walk out these doors, and it will seem once again as if we've stepped right back into the sifter, For our enemy will not give up on us. But have faith, we will not be destroyed. Cling to that cross and be spared from the sifting. Take his body and blood in the sacrament, and be strengthened and forgiven. And this day, remember how the sifting looks from God's perspective. For though the devil looks upon us and sees nothing but chaff, so God looks upon us, and through the merit of Christ sees nothing but the purest, finest wheat. He looks and sees us in this way. Have no fear. You will survive this sifting. We will, like Peter, Luther, and all who have been so sifted and emerged whole through faith, emerge ourselves and return then to strengthen others who still are in sifting, to help them to cling to that cross and survive for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen.